This episode is brought to you by Noom. Forget one-size-fits-all diets. With Noom, you get a personalized weight loss plan that's tailored to your lifestyle. No food is off-limits. Enjoy your favorites while discovering healthier habits. Noom's users love the flexible approach, blending psychology and biology to help you lose weight in a way that's sustainable for you. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's N-O-O-M.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery. Code Wondery.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast. Huge news, you guys. We shot a television version of the Nerdist Podcast for BBC America, and they are going to air it September 24th at 10 p.m. 9 Central. That's, of course, on BBC America, and I'm beyond excited. So we shot this one episode. If people watch it, then we'll get to make more. And if not, then it was still fun. Our guest was Craig Ferguson and another very special guest. So please mark that in your calendar or make a party for it and invite people over and I'll come. Actually, I probably can't come to all your houses, but I'll be there on the TV if you watch it. All right, I'm done begging you. But seriously, watch my fucking show. I would also like to say that if you're in the San Francisco area, August 18th, we're going to be doing a Nerdist podcast, just me and Veronica Belmont at the California Academy of Sciences, presented by SF Sketchfest. And then I'm sticking around to do Riff Tracks with the guys of Riff Tracks live on the 20th of August. So you can get details for that at sfsketchfest.com. I want to thank GoToMeeting for being a continuing sponsor of the Nerdist Podcast. It's impossible to get people together when you're traveling or you're working remotely, and GoToMeeting is incredible teleconferencing. You can use it for collaboration sessions, planning meetings, status updates, any kind of meeting you want. All people need is an internet connection, and everyone is literally on the same page in seconds. So I cannot recommend it enough. If you need to do teleconferencing for your work, GoToMeeting is super simple. They do everything for you. So sign up today for a free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting. Have all the meetings you want for one low flat rate. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code Nerdist. All right, here's the Nerdist Podcast, episode number 114. Hostful.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
And Jonah Ray puts his headphones in the jack, but something is amiss. The headphones don't seem to be working.
That's stereo. Yeah.
Jonah's not hearing anything in either ear. In some weird reality, he might consider he's going deaf. It's one-sided. Are you sure you're not deaf in one ear?
No. Well, it's possible, but I've had tinnitus for a very long time.
You have? You have tinnitus?
Yeah, real bad.
And you just hear a ring in your ears all the time?
That's why I kind of need to have sounds or a movie going on when I sleep, because the screeching sounds of silence, as I call them.
That's what Simon and Garfunkel called it too.
It's impossible.
How did you get tinnitus?
I grew up going to concerts, playing the drums in a garage with no insulation, so you just have the sound bouncing around. And you know, I never wore ear protection. Didn't think about it.
You even put condoms on your ears?
No. I would put ear sponges in. And
I'd put an ear UD in.
Yeah.
I'd take the ear after pill.
I got a lot of ear infections. I actually got a couple ear infections in the past, 5 years as an adult, and that's really weird. That's like a weird feeling to get an ear infection as an adult.
Unless like getting like a nosebleed when you're an adult.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like, it's just chicken pox.
Or shitting your pants, right, guys? Guys?
Mm-hmm.
You too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Shit in the bed?
I've done it twice.
Have you?
I've shit my pants.
I need to know this.
We can't talk about this again. Judah Friedlander has the mother of all pants shitting stories. Like, there, we can't. It's untoppable. Yeah.
That's true.
It's untoppable when you make the conscious decision, like, well, here we go. In your car. So we can't top that.
Can. I think maybe I talked about it, but it was after a wing eating contest. So
a wing eating contest?
Yeah, Lord of the Wings.
At first, I thought you said a wing ding contest.
No, yeah, I was.
How many wing dings can you fit on a page?
Well, it depends on the size. yeah.
This is a fun thing that happened the other day. I went to lunch with a director named Seth Gordon.
Hey.
Who directed King of Kong and Horrible Bosses and Freakonomics.
I just hung my King of Kong poster today.
Well, what happens is when you have, and I'm sure you're starting to get this too, Jonah, but when you have a management company or an agency, they'll send you out on work dates with other clients.
Yeah.
Just to sort of be like, hey, see if you guys, you know, whatever.
Get a general. Along. You know, you go on a general.
Well, no, it's different from a general. A general is when you go... and Mark said this at his speech at Montreal. A general is just when a few execs have an open spot on their calendar and want to be entertained by a comic. It's like, so you come in and they ask you about yourself and you make them laugh.
And then nothing ever happens.
Yeah. I've had so many of those. And it's
This kind of thing is where they sort of, you're more on equal, you know, theoretically equal ground with the person that you're meeting with. And it's like, oh, maybe we'll do something together at some point, but just sort of saying hi. And Seth is a super awesome guy, really, really cool, and just I was nerding out so hard at talking about Billy Mitchell to the guy that captured his soul on film.
When can we have him on?
Billy Mitchell?
He said he would come on.
I'll have Billy Mitchell on too.
No.
He'll just promote his hot sauce.
Ricky's
and his
hot
flag
sauce.
Ties.
I've had
Ricky's hot sauce.
You're not looking hard enough.
So here's what happened when I lunched with Seth. We go to this kind of hipstery diner. And
which one?
I can't remember the name of it. Yeah. I can't remember the name of it. But it was on the west side.
Okay.
And so a very nice Latino gentleman comes up to wait on us. And,
John Leguizamo.
It was not John Leguizamo.
Luis Guzman.
It was not Luis Guzman either.
Hmm.
It was Ricardo Malabar.
I've been waiting this table since purgatory.
The eggs are made with fine Corinthian leather. Why would you make eggs with leather?
Why didn't they put me in the new planet of the eggs?
So, anyway... I just order basic breakfast. Yeah, like the eggs. By the way, this is not a cool story, bro. This actually goes somewhere.
Okay.
I'm not just going to tell you that I ordered fucking breakfast.
So it's kind of like an Adam Carolla. And I get the eggs. And you got the eggs. They're scrambled right there. You know, I don't. Everyone knows how eggs work.
So I order, like, you know what? I'm going to have a traditional breakfast. I love some eggs and bacon, a little toast, and a side of cottage cheese.
Okay.
The guy just stares at me blankly. He's like, well, we have cheddar? And I'm like, No, cottage cheese, just like a side of cottage cheese. I don't know. Maybe you want Swiss? And I'm like, no, it's not really a cheese. And so now I find myself in a situation where I'm having breakfast with a guy I don't know, and I seem very emphatic about cottage cheese. But what's going on in my head is I am baffled by the idea that this guy works at a diner and has never heard of cottage cheese.
Yeah.
Then I find myself in the weird situation of trying to explain cottage cheese, but not really knowing how to do that.
I was going to say, I wouldn't know how to.
It's
milk that gone bad.
It's a curd, I think.
It went bad. No, like, we throw that out. When the cheese has cottaged.
It's like cheese cum?
When the cheese cottage, we throw it out.
So he's made of houses? No. It's casa cheese? It's not casa cheese. So I go, you know what? I'll tell you what. Just go back and ask the cook. And maybe he, you know, hey, he's probably heard of it. He's probably heard of a thing that everyone's heard of.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't really care that much, but I'm so kind of flustered. I was not prepared.
You kind of Hardwicked out the situation.
I was not prepared that cottage cheese would be such a deal breaker. And so he goes to the kitchen. And he comes back and he was just like, I mean, we can give you feta.
And I'm like, how do you have Greek feta. Cheese, but you've never heard of cottage cheese?
We have this monster that's really good.
Hashtag first world problems.
Wow. So they never figured it out. What did Seth say about that? Did he?
Nothing. We just sort of let it go. But afterwards, I emailed him, and I was like, you know, I feel like just as a joke going back and having a bunch of people with signs dressed up like farmers, like, why do you hate cottage cheese? But it's just, there are so many things that we just take for granted that you never actually think, what is that thing? What is that thing? And so I actually had to look up cottage cheese on Wikipedia. It is a curd. Mm-hmm. It is a dairy byproduct. It is a curd, but it is not really good. It is not cheese in the traditional sense.
And you can eat shit tons of that on the diet.
It's great.
That's great. Yeah, it can get old real fast.
This is Chris Hardwick for the Cottage Cheese Council reminding you, cottage cheese, it's a thing.
It's a
Latino
thing.
Guy at diner. By the way, I apologize for doing a Latino guy accent. That is how he sounded to me. I was merely retelling a story. I was not trying to be derisive.
In fairness, it was
in
Ricardo
any
Montero.
Way or shape or form is like.
What is that? No,
Jonah, you. Yeah, our sound guy Marcos loves when I do the Chicles kid.
Chicles,
yes.
When you go to T, if you ever, I went to Tijuana one time, got in a horrible car accident afterwards. Terrible story. Anyway,
that's Montezuma's revenge.
Oh, I just thought it was diarrhea. No, you get a horrible car accident. Yeah, you crack your spine. You get glass in your forehead.
Yeah, yeah.
There's just the little kids running over there like, you would like to buy some Chicles?
Yeah, the shittiest gum.
You like Chicles?
It's worse than the gum you get in baseball cards from 1985.
But clear. Chicles.
I chewed, just tried one, like 87 pack. I bought one at Meltdown. Gaston had them.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll try the gum. Awful.
Yeah. Did it cut your mouth open?
Bad idea.
Those kids are they seem weirdly demonic, though, in a weird way. It was like,
Chicles.
Like Mexican ring.
Siete dias.
Village of the Damned.
Yeah, see.
Is the village of the damned.
Damned. Anyway, so that was a fun cottage cheese. Do you guys have any cottage cheese related story? Why is he all of a sudden making the podcast about cottage cheese?
Are you starting a new podcast where it's just like the Nerdist cheese?
Yep, cottage cheese.
Today on cheese nerd Frank.
Yep.
Cheese nerd Frank.
Cheese nerd Frank. We could have a fucking
we could have a cheese nerd. I know.
I got, you know, because we've launched all these other podcasts and sex nerd Sandra has her podcast. And I got a couple responses from people that are like, there's no such thing as a sex nerd. And I'm like, hey, well, you know, maybe as a nerd, you shouldn't be judgmental. That's part of what you're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
Dickwad.
Is it?
Nerds are very judgmental.
Nerds are the most judgmental.
I don't mean, okay, let me rephrase that. I mean open-minded about what people are into. Yeah, and if you know Sandra Daugherty, you know that she is super nerdy, and you can be very nerdy about the science of sex and education.
Biology,
which she is. It's a science.
And chemistry.
And a bit of an art.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to massage your area, like, fine.
Your area accent today.
No, just the one.
Just the one.
Today is all about Latino accents y cottage queso.
I was really hoping there was going to be a Ricardo Montalban reference in the new Planet of the Apes.
But oh, I didn't see it.
It's so
it
fucking good.
Seeing it tonight.
It is so good. Now, see, I said I thought it was going to be good, and you guys were like, whoa.
You beat the boots. I think that was me.
Oh, it was you. Let me turn my hose.
Thank you.
Of derision.
Yeah, I'm Matt Myra. I don't think it's going to be a good movie.
Yeah, where all the apes come from.
And there is actually, someone online told you that, like, there was a huge gorilla sanctuary of some sort.
Great. There's also millions of people in San Francisco. Yeah. I'll let you know after I see it tonight.
Wait, I don't understand what that means.
You know,
yeah, there are millions of people.
Let's say an ape has the strength of, I don't know, 5 men.
Yeah.
We easily outnumber them. We could have like 10 guys on one ape.
Well, we also have like...
Yeah, but who are those 10 guys?
The police force.
But we also have the police force.
Yeah, who are ready. The ape task force that are ready at a moment's notice to take on the...
Well, then you're bringing something to
light. Watch the fucking movie. Watch the movie.
Maybe we need
watch the movie. Don't bring up things that don't make sense until you see the movie.
This is true. You have to watch the movie, and then you can come back and complain about it.
Then come in with your plot holes.
Next week, guys, I'll be here.
It's a great movie, and I'm a big fan of the original series. Like, I remember when AMC used to show them back
to front. For the record, I think it looks good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Duly noted.
Oof.
Could you read that back?
Hey.
For the record, I think it looks very good. All right, we got it.
All right,
thank
good.
You, podcast stenographer. We got it all down.
Can we get one of those?
That would be really sweet.
But there's a lot of references to the old movies that'll keep the you know, the old folk happy.
Do they reference them? Hey, do they reference it like this? Hey, ever see those Planet of the Apes movies? Look out, apes!
Yeah. No, they're actually, I forget. John Daly had a blog post talking about how some people are upset that they live in a world where those movies didn't exist. Like, come on.
I always do wonder about that sort of stuff, though. Like, where Back to the Future lives in a universe where Back to the future doesn't exist. Like, something, like a movie that is so culturally pervasive.
Well, that has been touched on with Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Yes.
Which is the story.
Which we've talked about before, I think it was a really cool idea.
A really cool idea.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
We got a little Heather Langenkamp back.
Yeah.
Back up in there.
That kid that was on Full House a bunch.
Yep.
And also played the kid in The Shining, the TV version.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very excited to see Planet of the Apes when I actually can go see a movie.
It is good, though. It's like, you know, subtle references to all the old movies. Some not so subtle, which I didn't appreciate it, but, like, you know, certain names are there, you know, like stuff like there's a name named Bright Eyes, and Bright Eyes was the name that they gave Charlton Heston's character, Taylor, in the first one.
Also, so that's who Bonnie Tyler was referencing in the song Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Exactly.
Turn around, Bright Eyes. Is NASA getting ready to send people out on a deep space mission in the movie?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yes. There's everything, and there's even like real winky ones where it's like there's an ape putting together a puzzle of the Statue of Liberty, but it's like half done.
Oh, you know? That's genius!
There's like cute stuff like that.
Does anyone just kind of casually tell off like, damn dirty apes?
Are we talking about it too much?
Okay. We're talking about it too much.
That's one of my points of contention.
Okay. I will go see it. I will go see it on my many travels.
Yeah. And then there was a trailer for a really like artsy, drivey action movie called Drive. I think it like with
wait. So it's a drivey movie.
I think it's called Drive. It's like, you know, racing this guy who's like a getaway car driver, but then gets mixed up with these people. But Albert Brooks is in it.
What?
It's like this beautifully shot.
How does
like
a getaway
action
car driver
that looks like
up.
it could either be like, you know, if they threw Nicolas Cage in it, it would be a ridiculous farce of a movie that everyone would laugh at.
Like, but Drive,
like,
Angry.
Yeah, but like it's this different thing that looks gorgeous, and but I think it's called Drive. But it won a big award at Cannes.
Did it win some Palm Award? Palm Awards. Yeah, you always see the little reef.
But it's like this action movie about a getaway driver.
I always get slightly irritated by DVD covers or like posters that put the wreaths on there, but when you read it really closely, it's like Dublin, Nebraska Film Festival. Oh, you can't put the wreath around that.
Yeah, exactly.
You can really only put the wreath around like maybe five festivals. You can't just any old festival throw fucking wreaths around there. That ain't right. We got to get Albert Brooks on this podcast.
Yeah,
I have tried and tried, tweeted him, and he has tweeted me back, but skillfully dodged. I'm going to start a campaign.
Do it.
I'm going to spend millions of dollars.
We'll just send the farmers with the cottage cheese signs over to his house.
Right.
The signs over.
We'll take any of the Brooks, really. Albert Brooks, Mel Brooks, Max Brooks, any of the Brooks want to come. James L. Brooks, any of those guys, if they all want to come on
Super
at once.
Dave Osborne.
Yeah.
Brooks Brothers.
It's an Einstein brother. They're brothers.
It's an Einstein brother, technically.
It's Albert Brooks's brother, so right?
Yeah.
Albert Einstein.
Both of them. We'll take both of them.
Yeah.
What are you guys up to this week?
What did we do?
You're about to finish your job.
We had birthdays since the last podcast.
That was my birthday. We had a
You guys
fun.
Do seem more mature.
You know what? I got to go pet a fucking penguin.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I saw the pictures of that. That was incredible.
Yeah, thanks to the lovely love of my lovely life, Deanna. Like, she found that at SeaWorld San Diego, you could go on a guided tour through the penguin exhibit. And they brought in a penguin, and they put him on the thing, and then you got to pet his back. And it felt like a wet wiener dog. It was awesome.
Oh, my God. That must have blown your mind.
Yeah, it was really awesome. It was everything I wanted it to be.
Now, do you feel like penguins are the avian wiener dogs?
Yeah, actually, I've said that in my act before, where my favorite animal is a penguin. You can't get that, so that's why I like wiener dogs. It's just like a penguin that fell forward.
Yeah,
but they won't. A wiener dog won't walk with its young between its feet.
Yeah, but that's only the Emperor Penguin.
Oh, not the Jackass Penguin.
Yeah.
What are some of the behavior characteristics of the Jackass Penguin?
Adorable.
Case closed.
Whoa, sorry. I turned him down.
You turned me way up.
Oh, there you go.
Enjoy that.
That'll help the old tinnitus.
Yeah.
Nothing helps the ear ring like louder noise.
Do you not want the headphones?
They're too fucking hot. I'm very warm right now.
What, you mean like they're not hot sound-wise? You mean like,
yeah, I'm sweating. It's hot. I'm hot. Maybe I have a fever. I don't know.
Are you sick?
No, I don't feel sick, except that I'm hot.
Well, you look like shit.
You're smoking again, though.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, that's right.
Is that going to make me hotter?
Well, it's just not good for you, Matthew.
This is true.
It's just not good
this
for you.
This is true. I'm winding it down, though. I'm winding it down.
You gotta.
By September, I hope to be done completely.
Mm.
But I had to get, yeah, I had to stop.
Did I ever tell my quit smoking story on the podcast?
I don't know. Go for it.
I know.
I had quit many times over the years. Now it's been ages. But I had quit smoking, and then I quit drinking in 2003. So then I started smoking because I'm like, well, I got to be obsessive about something.
Yeah.
Destructive. I start smoking. And after a couple months, I'm at the Improv on Melrose one night, and our comedian pal, Duncan Trussell, hilarious comedian, who does the Lavender Hour podcast with Natasha Leggero.
Great comedian.
Duncan, we were talking, and Duncan's morose.
Yes.
But in a wonderful way.
Yeah.
And he was like, why are you smoking, man? It's just the worst thing you can do.
He went through
and explained in detail. Do you know what happens when cancer starts eating your body? Like, he just went through this whole thing, and by the time he was done with his spiel, I literally had this pack of cigarettes and I threw them in a trash can and never smoked again.
Yep.
Cut to 3 years later, I'm at a party. I see fucking Duncan Trussell with a cigarette in his hand. I'm like, you told me. Yeah.
That's
and
how
he was like, I know, man, I know.
That's how morose he is, though. He's kind of a nihilist about a lot of things.
He knows what's going on, and he does it anyway.
Fuck it, right, man?
He's so funny.
I love him. He performed on my birthday show.
Yeah, he was
week.
On the birthday show. Fucking, so much killed. Fun.
Ron you know, Funches fucking
Ron
dominates.
Funches killed. Yeah, his love fucking him. Set on Conan was amazing. That was so good.
I did not want to follow him.
Yeah, he's so fucking adorable and good. And that was like his powerhouse set. That was his set for Conan.
Yeah,
you know?
That was great. It was fun.
Did they do the Conan showcase?
That's next week.
Next week.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's neat, huh?
They're doing a Conan showcase at Meltdown. That's gonna be awesome. I feel like there's just not that much stand-up on television anymore, so it's nice to see it sort of coming back a little bit onto the talk shows.
Yeah, that same night I'm doing a Lopez show.
Oh, Matt,
no,
I gotta tell you.
No.
It's booked. I'm ready.
No, Matt, it's not. Yeah, all right.
It's going to be
great. Sure, no. Yeah. Jonah, just let him have it.
Yeah, all right. I'll let him have
yeah,
this.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yay!
I did the Get Up on this podcast with Jensen Cart. From Gallery 1988.
Oh, yeah, guy? Yeah, of course.
He has a new podcast on Kevin's network, Kevin Smith's network. And he had me on. It's just called Get Up On This. And it's just like about like stuff you think is about to blow up.
Right.
And it was a lot of fun.
Do you mean like detonate or?
about to fucking get heard.
Fucking get you herded like cattle.
You heard.
Hard?
You heard.
Hard?
A lot of hip hop talk.
I don't understand.
But that was a fun podcast.
Is it good?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's great. I love Gallery 1988.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Those dudes pulling some good freaking, their artists are.
They have a wireless network thanks to me. The LA
That's right. We did our Sarah Silverman episode there.
Yes, of course, not realizing it's all
echoey.
Hard surfaces. Yeah. It's all concrete and windows.
Yeah, you know that old saying. It's all concrete and windows.
So don't record there.
Yeah.
But we did it anyway.
Greta got me for my birthday an original Wrath of Khan poster.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
badass.
Awesome.
Ricardo Montalban's pecs look amazing in paintings.
They really
in
do.
Paintings.
But don't ask him about cottage cheese. Tell me a little bit about the ridiculous cake that I missed
because
I left early.
The pumple cake.
Pumple cake. That thing confused my body.
Yeah. My friends Jen and Sasha, they made me a pumple cake, which is, again, I will explain it to the listeners. It's a pumpkin pie baked into a chocolate cake and then an apple pie baked into a vanilla cake. And the whole thing is frosted. I got through half a slice.
So it's two cakes
on top of each
other. And there's a pie in
inside.
Each one.
Yes. So it's two cakes and two pies.
with frosting. Held together with frosting. Glued.
It was epic.
That's the joint compound that holds it all together.
I just wanted to try it, you know? I didn't know that I would love it or hate it.
Now, you estimated that there were 1,800 calories per slice.
That is not an estimate. That is a factual thing from the one that they make in Philadelphia, the bakery in Philadelphia where it came from. Well, it didn't, I mean, where the idea came from.
That should be attached to a hospital.
Well, I took a huge slice, and I could literally only get through half of it. Like, it was so rich.
It didn't blend well together like you Weird think flavors. It would.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It was just different tastes. Different tastes. None of them blended together.
But each, you know, mind you, the cake was good. The pie was good. Both pies were good.
The cake was good. The pie was good. The cake was good. The pie was good. The cake was good. The pie was good. Right over there, we got him.
There's a cake that's good. The pie is good. The cake is good. The pie is good. The cake is good. And the pie is good.
But altogether, I don't know if it's a great thing. Apparently, they'll change it up for the summer. Like the summer, they have cranberries, cranberry pie, and peach pie.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Well, that's gonna be great for our new show, The Facts of Pie. Which actually could be a mathematical show for all you know.
Yeah, I was gonna say, unless you change the name to The Fats of Pie, which is just two fat hosts show about pie.
Have you seen that new show on the Food Network called Heat Seekers, where these two guys just go around eating really spicy food?
Really?
That's the whole premise of the show.
Mm.
Not the best thing.
That is a two-sentence pitch. at most.
Yeah. We get two ethnic guys, and we send them out eating spicy things.
And the end.
That's it. All right. It's going to be a half hour.
I haven't watched TV in ages.
I just happen to see commercials for television when I... Because I forget I'm watching DVR'd programming, and I sort of just let the commercials play.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I wouldn't know what was on television other than what I want to watch. Which I watch Restaurant Impossible a lot. Have you ever seen Restaurant Impossible?
No.
Here's a restaurant. Should you choose to accept it?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's got $10,000 in 2 days to turn the restaurant around.
Does the owner have a Philip Seymour Hoffman mask and voice modulator? And then they blow up a Ferrari in front of the...
The new one looks really good.
I'm sure it's going to be really good.
Brad Bird.
Yeah. Freaking Brad Bird. Come on.
So weird, though. This is his first live action directorial debut,
as far as I know. Yeah,
and it's a fucking huge action movie.
His movies have been so massive. Yeah. I'm not surprised. Yeah. And
you mean like just like action wise?
Visually,
yeah. I guess like in the end, you are just kind of storyboarding out action sequences when he's doing all his animation stuff. So
yeah,
and Incredibles is so good.
Incredibles is great.
But the stunts that fucking Tom Cruise does, they're insane. He's gonna die. Tom Cruise will die.
One can hope. One can only hope.
I feel like Tom Cruise might fake his death at some point.
You think so?
I don't know if he'll want to be an old guy in public. He might fake his death at some point.
Interesting theory. I like it.
Yeah. And he might, I'm just saying, have an organization that would help him do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not casting any aspersions at anyone.
He looks great for being 50.
He looks phenomenal.
Yeah, he's really
He looks
really
phenomenal.
Hugh Grant's 51.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird. People are getting old.
Poor Hugh Grant.
Poor Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant took down News Corp.
That was so genius.
What?
You didn't hear the story?
Hugh Grant?
Yeah, that was him. He started the whole thing. He recorded where someone told him that they had
recorded his
tapped into his phone.
Yeah. I think he set a guy up, right?
He set a guy up at a bar or something.
Yep.
And then he went up and met with the guy, and the guy just started spilling about it, and Hugh Grant was wired.
Yep.
On his own accord, or was he working with?
No, he wasn't working with anybody, was he?
I don't know.
I'd like to imagine he wasn't.
I'd like to imagine that Hugh Grant is like a Chuck Barris-style operative.
I like the fact that he would go back to Elizabeth Hurley and go... Is it okay now? Look what
I brought down
Evil Corporation.
Is it all right, that thing I did that time?
Is it cool now that I had with the her?
I mean, come on. Come
with
on.
The him.
Yeah. I've been playing some Xbox lately.
What are you playing?
I was playing Portal 2, which I love.
Nice.
And then started playing this Japanese import game called Catherine,
Have a Japanese import game?
Yes.
That's weird.
Well, it is.
Usually you just think of import singles from Japan.
Oh, yeah.
It's a weird... It's very bizarre. It's super trippy, and it all actually weirdly has to do with relationships. Like, the cornerstone... The basic premise is about a relationship between a guy and his
girlfriend.
Oh, wow.
So something that has to do with the relationship between a guy and a girlfriend that came out of Japan is weird and trippy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. People turn into sheep and you're jumping up and it's very weird.
You must steal her panties to make sure.
Place the crystal in.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's my first time.
It's okay. It's my first time, yeah.
You know what we should do just for fun? We should make a tentacle rape PSA, like about how it's wrong. About how it's wrong.
How is it wrong?
Whoa.
Well, hang on a sec. I got to think about that.
Cottage cheese.
Cottage.
Gross.
Casa queso. Casa queso, you guys. Casa queso.
You know, I've been thinking about is how weird it's going to
be. That's a friggin' band name if I've ever heard Casa queso. Yeah.
Yes.
Casa queso is my Yola Tango cover band.
Boom.
Bam. Shaboom. Paul and Storm shout out.
But I've been thinking about how weird it's going to be having weekends, like having a Saturday and Sunday off.
Have a weekend.
It's going to be very much like having the other 2 days off.
Yeah,
but not consecutive. You know what I mean?
You've had them before, though, right?
Well, now you can go places. Now you can afford to take Greta on trips
That's
and vacations.
Be weird.
No, it's good.
It's good, man.
I don't know.
Take her to Santa Barbara for a weekend.
No, we'd go up to Seattle, I think.
Really?
Let's go see your parents.
No. You can't go see anyone's parents. You have to take her away on a romantic vacation.
Yeah. But mind you, she's still tethered to the fruit stand.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well.
Gotta break her out of there.
Yeah, we'll try. But yeah, no. So that's weird. My dad's still not talking to me, too.
Really?
Seriously?
Seriously.
Oh, no.
Like, I literally was on the phone with my mother, and I said, is Dad around? She's like, yeah, he's right next to me. I was like, does he not want to talk to me? And she's like, no, he doesn't.
Oh, mad. What are we going to do to fix this relationship?
I don't know. I don't really know.
Do you want to apologize to him on the podcast?
I would like to if I knew what I was apologizing for.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Are you serious?
Now, listen back to the episode.
It's not what you think. It's not what you think.
Jonah, your disgust is so there. Jesus Christ. Just listen back to the goddamn episode.
It was the story about my brother. It wasn't that I said that the McDonald's were my real family.
No, we mentioned that as well.
Yeah, but no, that was it. And I can't really... Why would I apologize for that?
Because maybe your dad's sensitive about the fact that your brother's not doing maybe as well as you or life as he would want his son to do. Yeah. And maybe he's like he doesn't like the fact that the other son...
Oh my God, just listen to the show! Listen to this show!
Listen, like I have an older brother.
Listen, Dad.
I don't know. I have an older brother that my parents still help out, like in you know support a lot. And I know they're kind of sensitive about it.
Well, okay.
They wouldn't want me telling.
I wish I had been more sensitive to that, and I wish I had not said that.
Yeah,
Dad, I'm sorry for saying that.
Fortunately, he's probably not listening because he can't stand your voice
right
now.
Yeah, exactly. But he's a big fan of mine.
Yeah, no, he's a big Jonah fan.
So, like, I'm sure he's listening.
He's okay. Team Jonah.
He's
going
to
send you a fucking picture of a Team Jonah
he's
shirt.
Got a Team Jonah t-shirt.
Families are hard. Families are complicated. You love your parents a lot, and yet sometimes, and there's just something weird about like.
This is the first time I felt like an adult. Like this whole year, and then me not talking to my dad makes me feel more like an adult.
Really?
Yeah.
Dressing up dead bodies still made you feel like a kid?
Yeah.
Weird.
That's what we did when we were kids in high school. We were like, let's go dress this dead guy.
Unbelievable.
That's true. It's just like Halloween. It's like Halloween every day, but with more formaldehyde.
You know what the weirdest...
And everyone's dressed as a guy going to church.
Yeah.
The weird moment in your life is when you get to a certain age and you realize, like, my parents were just people who fucked each other and had a kid, and that's it. They were just people.
That happened to me when I got my birth certificate, a copy of it, and it said that my dad was 32 years old and was an electronics technician.
Yep.
And I was like, oh... I'm an electronics technician.
I'm already way older than my parents were when they had me.
I can't raise it.
Yeah. And I'm older than my mom, younger than my dad when he had me.
My parents were
18. Your dad had you?
My dad had me.
Like a seahorse?
Yeah. He pushed out a bunch of me, little me. And I'm the only one that survived. Yeah. It's real sad.
You know, that's a...
And then people buy me, and then they put me in a tank, and they realize I need a different kind of water, and I die.
You know what's fun about seahorses is that they can say to each other, oh, he has his father's vagina. I got Nick.
Yeah.
I got Nick.
Every time you say vagina, I joke with a vagina. There.
Yeah, that's true. This is the... That's
I'm
gone. Nick, hop on the mic there, Nick.
Yeah, I'm...
You got your kid with you.
You got your son with you
today. I got
today.
My son with me.
Hey, what's up, man?
Say hi.
Hi.
Nice.
What is your name?
Nick.
Oh, you're also Nick.
Yeah.
We got the Knicks.
Wow.
Oh, my God, you
Nick
guys.
Nick Jr.
Nick Jr.
Yeah.
Nick Jr. Snick.
Yeah, Snick.
No, I like.
It's the grandfather.
Breakfast with the Knicks. Like, that's a that is a radio show. Younger Nick, you're quite an artist. And you are a huge Doctor Who fan, and I want to compliment you on your 11th Doctor drawing that I saw the last time we were in here. It's really kick-ass.
Thank you.
Can people see your stuff online anywhere?
Yeah, I haven't posted that one yet, though.
Okay, but where can they go to see your work?
DeviantArt, Cartoon Nick 3, you know?
Oh, you're on DeviantArt.
Nice, there
Sweet.
You go.
That's awesome. How old are you?
14 and a half.
Nice. 14 and a half. You listen to all these these old people talking about their crappy issues.
You're going to get to a certain age, Nick, where you hold on to the age you are until the bitter end of the last day of that year.
It's now, like, I know you want to be older, Nick, because you probably want to drive and you want to be able to vote and you want to be able to drink and you want to be able to do all those things. But then at a certain point, like, you spend so much of your young life going, I want to be older, I want to be older. And all of a sudden you're like, slow down.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was 27 until 9:16 p.m. on August 5th.
So when do you stop saying and a half? I mean, when we were all kids, we always said that and a half. When did we all just
16
say
16 and a half? I think that's when you get your driver's
license. You should start doing it again when you're in your 30s and you're like, I'm 30 and a half.
30 and a half, yeah.
or start measuring in months, you know, like, I turned 360 months today. Yeah. Just like toddlers. Yeah, 371 months, you guys.
That's some good math you're doing. Some good math.
He's really smart. I think he majored in math or something.
I don't know. Maybe I did.
Yeah, but have you just been bringing him to work all week?
Yeah, he's back to school next week.
Wow. Yeah. What grade? Are you freshman?
Sophomore.
Sophomore. Yeah.
That's when everything changed.
Now, are you gonna do you haze the freshmen when they come in? Like, give them a hard time.
Haze.
Well, haze. Like, do you harass the freshmen when they come in, because you're like, freshman, and you throw cottage cheese at him.
You
know what cottage cheese is, right, Nick?
You know what?
Did I wake up in some weird Twilight Zone universe where no one knows what cottage cheese is? There's a whole case of it at the grocery store, right?
Yes. Well,
Nick, you know what cottage cheese is. Oh, thank God. I thought I was losing my mind. I thought it was one of those weird Twilight Zone episodes where just one thing changes and I can't wrap my brain around it.
Casa de queso.
Casa de queso.
Really pays attention, this one.
Yeah, he really is. And that is what's so amazing about Nick is that he's got 6 monitors there. He's monitoring all the news of everything, and still he's absorbing stuff that we're saying.
Well, you notice I had enough. I turned everything off. I just wanted to sit and listen.
Oh, that's so nice.
The stock market, I'm done with it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
As is the world.
It seems like everyone has shut off the stock market.
Well, that's not a thing that's going to work out.
Gold's $1,800 an ounce. Do you guys know how rich Forrest Gump would be after all that Lieutenant Dan bought all that Apple stock?
Yeah. You know how rich Lieutenant Dan would be?
That's a good point.
Well, not rich in legs.
No, he's very leg poor.
Legs are now. Yeah.
He's very leg poor.
That's like that old saying, you know, bank rich, leg poor. Yeah.
Apple rich, leg poor. The guy, he has a lot of money and a lot of heart, but he's very impoverished when feet are involved.
Yes, exactly.
Very impoverished. when that's going on,
he'll never be a step ahead of the rest.
I mean, come on.
I mean,
Jonah, that joke doesn't have a leg to stand on. Matt, turning back to business at hand, I stall.
So, Dad, I'm sorry.
Well, here's Nick's a father.
Yes,
Nick's,
I am.
Nick's a dad. How can Matthew fix this clearly effed up relationship with his father?
Which is weird because me and my dad were always super tight and did everything together.
Until you insulted his other son.
And was? Do you think it's because he's sensitive about the other son?
Oh, okay. So you have a brother.
My dad's weird, though.
Oh, okay.
Matthew has a brother, and Matthew kind of ripped on him a month ago.
For the record, I love my brother, too.
Okay, yeah. You ripped on him in front of your dad.
No, he ripped on in front of the world on the podcast.
Here.
And his dad heard it.
Okay, well, then there's no excuse.
So it'll take a little while, right?
It's going to take a little while. Right. I can understand if it was, you know, Thanksgiving dinner, Christmas dinner,
sure.
I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, in the national, international scene.
I forget
scene.
That I'm not
Send him a fruit basket. Send him a fruit basket.
So that's when it went south.
Yeah, well, yes, apparently.
And no buildup up until then?
No, nothing. Just a tweet.
So how did you diss him? What did you say?
I told a story about my brother purchasing some marijuana and then not being able to afford oil for his truck. And then
reopening the wounds.
Might have just told the story again.
I'm not going to talk to him anymore either.
I guess what we're saying, Nick, is if you have some room, maybe you could be Matt's new dad.
Yes. Not with that.
Not making it better for Matt's situation.
Not with that attitude.
He's heard you too many times.
Nick rejected me too.
I like your brother a lot better. And I never met him.
So do they.
Oh, Maddie. That's all right.
Anyway.
Listen, you know what? You've had a lot of career upgrades recently. You can send them gifts. It is possible to purchase love from people.
I can? Perfect.
Yeah, your dad loves electronics, so you know you're reviewing electronics.
Greta, I'm getting you that new dress you wanted.
Yes. Exactly.
Anyway, but yeah. So anyway, Dad, sorry.
Yeah.
Listen.
We love you, Dad.
Yeah. Me too. I love you.
It's like one of the best.
We love you too.
It's one of the best Will Ferrell lines, like the way he just said it in Old School, and when he's at his wedding, and he's just like, "Hey, his dad is here. That's awesome." He's just like, "I love you, Dad," which is like something I feel I've said in a drunken moment near my dad, just like, "No, don't show it. I love you, Dad." Oh, God.
That got out.
Here's another beer.
It just got out.
Yeah.
I told my dad I loved him. I got to see him on his 70th birthday.
That's really cool.
That was nice.
Listen, I would say it every time I hung out the phone with him. But now he doesn't talk to me.
Well, you know, you could look at it this way.
Yes.
Your mom is your mom.
Yeah.
Because she's your mom.
Right.
But your dad is your dad because your mom tells you that he's your dad.
Fair enough.
Wow. Yeah, that was words of wisdom with the Knicks.
The Knicks.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, there you go. There you have it.
That's really awesome. That's a definition from the Nictionary.
Hey.
Nope, too jokey?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry.
I'm looking for Quemens. No one's doing good ones anymore.
Oh, I've got some.
You got some?
Yeah,
here's one, really quick one. Hey, guys, listen to the podcast a lot. I have a question. Is there a zombie survival guide or any information about zombies?
Max Brooks.
Yeah, try Googling zombie survival guide, and you'll find a book called Zombie Survival Guide. By Max Brooks.
That was very Norm MacDonald of you.
Zombie
Survival Guide. Hey, look up Zombie Survival Guide where you'll find Zombie Survival Guide.
Hey, crazy zombie, get off of me.
Hey, them's mean streets if you're a zombie in a cardigan.
Hey, look over there. Hey, Nat.
Hey, what's that guy doing? Is that guy doing a Norm MacDonald impersonation? What's that guy doing right there?
Oh, that's funny. Could you please interview H. John Benjamin? I love all the work he does in Archer.
Yes,
me too.
We were going to have John on, but he doesn't live here, and so there was a very small window that he was in L.A., and I was out of town, so we couldn't do it. But we will eventually have John Benjamin on.
I love that dude. Also, Wyatt Cenac is going to be coming to town.
Yep.
We'll get to have Wyatt Cenac from The Daily Show.
Yep.
Old buddy of ours.
All right, here we go. This one is from Rain Pollock with a question.
Not a comment?
And a question.
It's a comment and a question? Comment.
It's a question.
No, it's a comment.
But is it a comment?
It's also a comment. It's a question. So it's a comment.
It's a comment.
I love you, Quemens.
I love you, Quemens.
Okay, Big C, Myra Bowie, and Hipster Jonah. By the way.
Jonas, I saw, was the new one they're giving you just because.
That's just like a misspelling.
I know.
It's because of Todd, who apologized again last night.
I think it might be Twitter user The One True Bix. Or if it wasn't, someone with a similar avatar said to me on Twitter, Big C is you. The Big C is cancer. I was like, oh my God, you're right.
Oh, there you go, buddy.
Oh, wait. So now you like it?
No, I still don't like it.
All right, good.
All right.
That's what makes a nickname.
I started listening to the podcast a couple months ago. I've been burning through the backlog at an alarming rate. You better slow down. This rate is alarming.
You're going to run out of podcasts.
Yes, we're one podcast family.
You're going to burn out.
Can't start one podcast. And
are the Knicks leaving?
Yeah, it's time for a smoke.
You didn't like my Kevin Meaney?
I think he's way too young to be smoking, Nick.
No. No, actually, it's happy hour across the street.
So. Oh, he's fine to get him drunk, but just don't
smoke.
It
starts in 3 minutes. You got a little time.
We're ready to go.
All right.
Yeah. Gentlemen.
Nice to see you. Nick. Bye, Nick.
See you, Nick.
Okay, guys.
If you ever want to draw pictures of us from the podcast, young Nick, you're welcome to do that.
He'll do it.
We'll post it on the blog.
See you guys.
Sweet. Bye, guys. Okay.
Oh, finally.
They can still hear you.
No.
We're back.
Jeez. The podcast.
Wow, I feel bad finding out he was 14 after I think I said the word come twice.
Oh, we said a lot of bad things. Oh,
Nick Sr. was like, loves vagina jokes.
Did I say sticky fuck flaps this time?
Not this
sticky
time.
Sticky fuck flaps.
Always make something funny when you repeat it back to the person slowly. Sticky fuck flaps. All right. Bearing that alarming rate. I've never gone back to a podcast previous shows before. Nerdist, I always just started the latest one, blah, blah, blah. Very nice things are saying about us. My Zune software, don't laugh, would download some older ones along with the latest episode. And every time I look at it, it would be one awesome guest after another. Anyway, your show's great. It'll be like blah. A couple questions. One, I love funny music like Weird Al and Lonely Island. Mm-hmm. I'm even a big Bowling for Soup fan, yep. Even though I think Myra said he does not enjoy them.
That's correct.
I was wondering, well, they're not going to be your father either.
Well, it was funny as I insulted them to Vinny Rutherford, who, like, enjoys them thoroughly.
Yeah.
He was going to a concert.
Oh, well, you still got hired.
Yeah.
I was wondering, who are the best comedy bands, in your opinion? Okay.
Get Mike Furman's album first.
Mike
of all.
Furman? Yeah. You know what? I have a new Mike Furman song that I'm going to play at the end of this podcast.
Oh, great.
Which is actually really great.
Mike did a parody of Woodstock, the Woodstock song that. Crosby, Stills, and Nash made it popular.
Yeah.
It was actually written by Joni Mitchell, but she was dating Stephen Stills at the time, and so they covered it. And her version is very folky, and theirs is very rock-y. And so Furman did one called Wootstock, which was all about the Wootstock culture.
Oh, neat.
For Paul and Storm and Will and Adam Savage. And Paul and Storm sang on it, and I sang on it, and Mike sang on it. And it was so much fun, and he just posted it. So it's available now. I'll put it at the end of this episode, and then go buy it on iTunes and support Mike Furman. Yeah, it's 99 cents for the Wootstock song.
Other funny kind of music, Atom and His Package. It's a guy he did a lot of stuff more in the later 90s, but it's this guy out of Philly who was in punk bands and then just bought a sequencer and started making music off of that. And he real funny, smart stuff. He's actually a professor now, but his stuff is great. Atom and His Package, okay. ATOM.
And then Paul and Storm, and then there's Molly Lewis. And
Ray
of course,
Stevens.
Yeah.
Shut up. And then fuck yourself. Because this person's going to go see Ahab the Arab what the fuck did you send me to?
Reggie Watts.
Reggie Watts, amazing. Paul and Storm.
Eli Braden.
Eli Braden's great. Flight of the Conchords, of course.
Yeah.
Also,
but go get Mike's album, and I challenge you not to have Street Meat stuck in your head.
All the songs are super catchy. I love his iron, and I think he calls it irony, because with Iron and Wine, Mike always said, "Hey, a little more irony, a little less whiny."
Yeah.
So he called it irony and whiny. But the king of musical comedy, in my opinion, is Tom Lehrer. You cannot go wrong with Tom Lehrer, the guy who was a math professor. Ultimately, but he attended Harvard at age 16, and this guy had viral hits as albums in the 1940s. Like, he would go in, he's an amazing pianist, record an album in a few hours, and they would get passed around to all the colleges. And then Tom Lehrer in the 60s did, I think it was called The Year That Was, but it was a series of, you know, he was a guy who would perfect a song, perform it live once, and then not perform it live again, because he was like, well, everyone knows what the jokes are. So, but he's genius. Yeah, I mean, he was writing academic pot songs in the 1940s.
That's awesome.
He's awesome. Tom Lehrer, Lehrer. He also did all those Electric Company songs like LY and Who Can Turn a Cat Into a Cane? Silent E.
Oh, okay.
Who Can Turn a Man Into a Mane?
Thank you.
okay, so that should keep you busy for a while.
Here's
there's more.
Oh shit!
Where do I get some Hard and Firm albums? iTunes. Have you ever released an album of that stuff? Yes, iTunes. Okay, number two, comic nerd sequels. No, not gonna do that one.
Okay.
Any plans to put out Web Soup on Netflix? I have no plans to do anything with Web Soup. It's not my. I'm not NBC.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do with it.
We just show up when they say it's a go.
We'll go on the Hulus.
The Hulus. Oh, actually, you know what? You know what? I will read this comic nerd sequels. What was worse, X-Men The Last Stand or Kingdom of the Crystal Skull?
Ooh.
I didn't see Crystal Skull.
Well, I saw Crystal Skull and I saw X-Men The Last Stand.
X-Men The Last Stand was a mess.
I liked it, though.
How?
After X2?
How did you like it? How did you like
angel jumping out of the fucking window and then like soaring over the Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh, there are certainly parts of it
and,
that are
and all the Phoenix know. Stuff and then like
they why dropped does the he, ball. Why they does set he... it up so well yeah. with the fucking movie before
and,
that.
And I'm, and you know like it's daytime yeah. and everyone has their fucking headlights on at the bridge. It was like that was just a shot that oh, they were trying
are,
to
those
get.
Those are daytime running lights.
No, not all of the cars.
Here, you know,
and why does he fucking kill Phoenix? He's standing on a pile of mutant cure. He could have just fucking cured her. He could have just made her not have powers.
There was someone, I think it might have been the Onion AV Club or Splitside or someone like did like a thing of like what the movie was supposed to be, and it was so much better. It was so much better because it was going to start off at the lake. Where Phoenix died,
yeah.
or you know, where Jean Grey, yeah. And it's like all like emptied out and corroded, and then there's all it's like it was supposed to, like the original storyline was supposed to just go right off of X2, which I think is like the best one of the series.
Yeah, X2 was great.
Yeah.
Well, I enjoyed seeing like Beast and
Kelsey Grammer,
Colossus.
I enjoyed just seeing him, but I could have seen that in a still. Like the movie. Was well, such a bummer it. To me for
that's what they were trying to get off of though. That's what they were trying to get away with is just like they're just showing you too much stuff. It's like, hey, there's Beast. Hey, there's this guy. Where the fuck did fucking Nightcrawler go?
Colossus.
Colossus was awesome.
Oh my god,
he shows up in
how
part
could you
two.
How could you not want to fucking punch the screen with expositional bullshit when they're in that fucking church and the one guy goes, oh, you're a class 5 mutant. Oh, and then fucking Magneto goes, oh, and you can tell the powers of other mutants. Like, you might as well have just turned to the fucking camera and said that at the audience so you could get your exposition across.
Yeah.
So irritating.
When Colossus had that like really quick moment in X2, that was fucking, I remember everyone went crazy in the theater. Just
I'm
like,
sorry, I nerd rage.
Like, and you haven't seen The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
I'm not seeing Crystal Skull.
Yeah.
I didn't hear awesome things, so I didn't really.
A lot of things are wrong with it. Even like the lighting in the first scene is just like, why is it so bright? You could see reflection. No, you could see it's fucking, you could tell it's lights.
Oh, okay.
You can tell it's lights.
I did, however, see Shia LaBeouf working out at my gym in jeans. But that's okay.
That's fine.
Well.
Why not work out in jeans?
He's a bruiser.
Why not work out in jeans?
I think Crystal Skull is worse than Last Stand.
But you liked Last Stand, so your opinion
Crystal
doesn't
Skull,
count.
Too.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that one either. He's young, Jonah.
But what I liked about Crystal Skull...
Would you not see?
No, I saw it. I saw both movies.
Oh.
But what I liked about Crystal Skull was just seeing Indiana Jones again. Those flashes of those moments of awesome Indiana Jones stuff.
Squirbidurpee.
Well, let me just go back for a sec. How does a person work out in jeans? I will say, Shia LaBeouf, great shape. Really good shape.
Yeah, I bet.
But how do you work out in denim?
I see it. I see it a lot.
But you get super sweaty in denim, and then it like
you should go to the Koreatown 24-Hour Fitness.
I'm not going
to
do that. Ever. Never.
It can't be that bad, right?
Tell me what streets they're on. I won't even go on those fucking streets.
You're on it right now. You are on the street.
Get me out of the street. I would never do it.
You just go through the ceiling.
Okay, this is from Eric Almdale. Teleporter or holodeck? Would like to hear your thoughts on the ongoing raging debate, teleporter or holodeck. Also, what would be your primary use for choice? First of all,
fucking.
I would rather have a portal gun than either of those.
But would
that's
your
only
portal
short
gun,
form.
Would you know where your portal was coming out?
You set it up.
Oh, I see. I've never played Portal.
Nah, it's so you can blow yourself.
Okay.
Like you shoot a portal at your face, and then and then one down below. I saw that in a cartoon video. I'm like, that's how you would use a portal.
Yeah, do it.
Teleporter or holodeck? Holodeck, I mean, you know what? I have to say teleporter.
Do you travel so much?
Yes, because teleporter actually has a practical use, and a holodeck is just like it's just like going on the internet.
Yeah, but what about the dangers of flies getting in with you into the teleporter?
No. I went in and told the computer to separate the DNA sequences so it wouldn't be confused and mash us together.
Oh.
Yeah. I learned the hard way, believe me. First of all, when my baboon turned itself inside out, I was like, something is not right here.
How does Hardwick fly eat? Well.
Really,
I still wouldn't say holodeck.
Your mic's not on.
Oh.
Okay, it's
holodeck. I'd have to say holodeck.
Hardwick eats by vomiting cottage cheese.
Yeah. Since I was a child, I've wanted a holodeck.
Really?
Since I was
I would
a
do
child.
Awesome things in there.
Like what?
I would like play a baseball game with the 2004 Red Sox. Like I'd make myself at first.
But you wouldn't really
like
be
that.
Playing a baseball game with the 2004 Red Sox.
Yeah, you'd get into a weird mind space.
I'd get the experience of it. It would be interesting.
It's not like the holodeck
you know
can
what
blow
else I would
you.
Do?
You can't touch them.
You can. In the holodeck, you can.
You can actually touch
physically touch everything. Yeah, you can interact with everything in the holodeck.
Oh man, I would.
How do you not know that?
I never thought about it.
Yeah, the holodeck's not just images. It's literally, I can touch this because the holo emitters make the matter occupy physical space.
Oh, this changes everything.
Yeah, So you can fuck bitches like crazy.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but you could fuck with a teleporter. You could fuck some.
You'd have to have a relationship with this person. You can't just go fuck somebody with a teleporter. You could just go.
You could teleport and then fuck them and then teleport back out.
Yeah, they'll never find you, rapist.
No, I don't mean.
Whoa.
I wasn't talking about rape teleporting. I mean, you go have sex with someone and then you come home.
Yeah, but they'd have to want to have sex with you.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, but.
So you can rape on the holodeck? But,
yes.
Oh. Well, now who?
Because you're not raping anything. You're fucking. It's photons. You're raping light.
I want to rape light.
That has matter. It can feel awesome.
You just raped me. No, I raped. It was a rape light. It was a little less than a rape.
No, to be fair, I raped your flashlight.
Yeah. You guys don't get it. Holodeck is the answer.
All right, holodeck does sound pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I guess in the holodeck, like rather than actually teleporting to China, you could just have China in your holodeck.
Exactly.
Hey, this guy said something very nice about you. He said, this guy, Rob, he has the podcast, The Geek Generation.
Yeah. Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah, yeah. This is why you've heard of it. I was at the show in Boston at the Wilbur Theater. Good best day, comedy man. Show I've ever been to.
Whoa.
You and Furman killed it. Also, thanks a million times to Chris for recording an ID bumper for my podcast, The Geek Generation.
I did do that. I remember that.
Yeah, they just had a really good zombie debate on their podcast recently. And then... Then they talked about me in the episode afterwards, and it weirded me out. Sorry, Rob. It did.
What?
But if they have another zombie discussion, I will call in.
Talking about you now, buddy. People are talking about you, Jonah Ray.
He says, thanks to Jonah Deathray for inspiring and listening. Deathray. That's really cool. That's been done before.
Cool nickname.
That's been done before, yeah. So we can go with that if you guys want.
Actually, I'm going to change your name to Jonah Bang Bang.
Yeah. Nice. There was some discussion on your Geek Dad episode about the difference between a nerd and geek. My buddy from California agrees with Chris that it's simple. Why does it matter that your buddy's from California? Agrees with Chris that it's simply
shit on the Quimeter.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's a nice guy. That's a cool podcast. Okay. With its simply a regional distinction. I, however, feel strongly that there's a difference, and I have defined it in this way. A geek is someone that is very passionate about a specific topic, often to the point of near obsession. You can have sci-fi geeks, Doctor Who geeks, band geeks, and even sports geeks. It's an all-encompassing term that refers to multiple topics. A nerd is another term for a subcategory of geeks, specifically an academic geek. Those who are geeky about school and or intellectual pursuits will be referred to as nerds.
Wait, so they're saying a nerd is a subset of geek?
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Bull to the shit.
Well, this is coming from the guy, he's saying this to us, the Nerdist podcast, from his podcast, Geek Generation. So, nah. Would love to hear your thoughts on this distinction. They're just words. Moving on. I don't like those kind of conversations they swirl because it's all just kind of made up terms and it's all infused in pop culture.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's not like you're looking at a macaque and a bonobo and you're like, those are clearly.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, a geek is a fucking guy that bites the head off of chickens at a circus.
Yes, that's what from the German Geck.
Yeah, exactly.
And nerd, I believe, was a Dr. Seuss generated word.
Yes.
I still can't believe
it. Turn your fucking microphone!
My elbow hits it. Sorry, guys.
All right.
I still can't believe you don't know how holodeck works. I'm sorry.
I guess I didn't realize that you could
you could physically interact. That's why when the safety protocols get turned off, that's why Captain Picard can kill all those Borg in First Contact. Because the bullets go
gotcha. Now I love Next Generation, but I have not watched Next Generation in quite a few years.
Next Generation has a number of holodeck episodes. Perhaps the best is
wasn't there a gangster one?
There's a couple of those. There's a couple episodes where with the Dixon Hill character, but the Nth Degree is pretty good, and you can find these all on Netflix now because they all stream on Netflix. And I'm trying to think of the one Hollow Pursuits, which is essentially about Barkley, like just living in the holodeck.
All right, doesn't want to. I'm gonna go back.
Hollow Pursuits season 4.
I'm gonna go get that on. I'm gonna go watch that on Netflix.
And that's Barkley is Murdoch from the A-Team. Anyway, go ahead.
No. I think I've just read my favorite comment of all time.
Please.
From a guy named Jason. Hey, guys. Forget just your nuts laying on a fucking dresser and banging them shits with a spike fucking bat. Waiting for the Todd Glass show is really torture. Am I right?
Forget about that other thing that we never talked about.
I don't know what the fuck that is. I don't understand.
I love introducing some crazy thing that it sounds like he's saying that like that's a thing we all know.
Yeah.
Hey, forget about banging your balls up against a dresser.
Just your nuts laying on a fucking dresser and banging them shits with a spiked fucking bat.
Banging them shits.
Waiting for the Todd Glass show is really torture. Am I right?
Forget about driving a forklift up your asshole and cutting that fucker in half. What?
Nice. And this Quemener is referencing Nick. Hey, Chris, Matt, Jonah, and Nick.
Oh, Nick's not here.
Yeah, I know.
He took his kid drinking.
Since you guys are all nerds, I need to know if any of you had ever heard of Nerd Fighters. If not, it's a community of nerds that sprung up around the Vlog Brothers YouTube channel, which is run.
I have heard of Nerd Fighters, actually.
You have? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are they entirely out of awesome? And a fight to decrease the amount of suck in the world. Mm.
Did you see the NBC logo?
Mm. Bum, bang, bang. Bum, ding, there's another. I'm bummed you can't do the next Tournament of the Nerds.
I know. I'm gonna be doing a live riff track. I'm doing two shows with SF Sketchfest on the 18th. SF Sketchfest did a thing with the California Academy of Sciences, and so there's a whole evening of programming there, and I'm gonna be doing a conversation with Veronica Belmont, who is awesome, at Veronica on Twitter. Super, super crazy smart geek girl.
What?
Got in there.
She got that handle?
Yeah.
Shit.
She's hardcore. She's friggin' seriously hardcore.
How do I get at Matt?
you're not getting at Matt. But did someone must have gotten just the name at so they could be at?
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
yeah.
Sure
right?
That happened.
But Veronica's awesome. So Thursday the 18th of August, we're doing a one-on-one conversation. You guys can't be there because is your last day at the fruit stand.
Yeah, and Jonah's got a show that night.
And Jonah's got a show that night.
I also got my job starts next week, my new temporary job.
What's your new temporary job?
I'm riding on the VMAs.
Oh, yeah. Hold that thought for 1 second. Yeah. Then on the 20th, I'm doing a live Riff Tracks with people like Andy Richter and a few other cool people in San Francisco. So all that information is at sfsketchfest.com. Moving over to Jonah, that is awesome that you're writing for the VMAs.
Yeah.
Like any cool writer that I've ever known has written on the VMAs. It's like a...
Yeah.
Or the movie awards, VMAs and the movie awards.
What I'm hoping is that it is a stepping stone towards the movie awards, which has more comedy segments in it.
Right.
But I'm very pleased to have gotten this job, mainly because DC Pearson from Derek Comedy and Mystery Team is the head writer on it. And DC is awesome. I think he's one of the funniest, nicest guys around. And I'm really excited.
I'm very excited for you. I think this is a big step for you.
I think so. You know, got it. They asked about me
because it is an acknowledgement that you're a legitimate comedy writer that they're pulling you into.
Yeah,
I know people don't necessarily think of the VMAs as being like, oh, it's a comedy, you know. But I can tell you from experience that most of the people that have now kind of popped as comedians probably wrote for the VMAs at one point.
Yeah. Harris Whittles wrote on it in 2007
or another. So it's a good. It's actually a great collection of people.
Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to it. And it's like, you know, now we're done with Web Soup for the year. You know, I kind of, and it's nice to have a job to float me. Also today, I found out that I will be recording my next record for AST Records.
A special thing.
A special thing records. In September, I'll be recording it at Meltdown, and it should be good. It's going to be another 7-inch record. If you buy the 7-inch record, you are able to have a keepsake. If you don't have a record player, and you can put it on your wall, and it will come with a download code, so you can just put it onto your computer. Here's one. Hey, Jonah, my wife and I are having a baby, and we're thinking of baby names. Jonah has made the list. What do you think? We are seriously considering it. Adam. Adam is the name of my brother.
Whoa.
So that's kind of neat. Jonah, I think, is an awesome name. If you do name your kid Jonah, don't get him fat, because the story of Jonah and the whale will be rewritten in ways to make fun of him, such as Jonah the whale. That's a very easy one to grow up with. And no one can ever really give you a shitty nickname, apparently. So
yeah, no.
This window into Jonah's childhood was brought to you by Jonah Ray.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, it's
Nay Rodriguez. Rodriguez.
Oh, come on. How long have we known each other?
I meant to say Rodriguez.
A lot of people did.
maybe they should flip it and name the kid Hainaj.
Hainaj. Ooh. Oh.
H-A-N-O-J.
I like that. I'm okay with
Hainaj.
That.
Hainaj. Yeah. Hainaj. Don't dream.
Oh, have you listened to the Mark Maron podcast with Andrew Dice Clay?
No!
God damn, it's awesome. Yeah, last week. It came out last week.
I just heard Dice on Stern, and like Stern was like talking to him like how like he doesn't have any money, this, that, and the other thing, and he's like trying to make his nut every week, and his nut's like $125,000 a month.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the fuck is he spending money on?
What is $125,000 a month?
I don't know. His mortgage, his cars, his wife, his alimony, his child support.
Yeah.
All that
still,
shit.
Still talks like a badass, though. Dude can do... an amazing Bob Marino. Dude can do an amazing Jerry Lewis from The Nutty Professor. Spot on.
Yeah, no,
spot on impressions. Dice, and a really
Dice?
Good. Yeah, Dice came. It's crazy. It's a really good listen. I liked it a lot.
Excellent. Well, I think that sort of wraps up the show for the week.
Yeah.
So before we wrap this out, we're going to kick it into... Mike Furman's.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Can I? Sorry. This is going up today.
How did you
tomorrow?
Rewind yourself?
Yep.
Sorry.
Actually, if you want to sound like you're rewinding yourself, just say the words Brezhnev and turnip.
Brezhnev, turnip.
Yep.
Yep.
Turnip, Brezhnev, turnip, Brezhnev, Brezhnev, turnip.
And then boom, you're in Twin Peaks, the movie.
Yep. and then boom.
I'm doing a really awesome show next week Thursday in Culver City called the Super Serious Show.
Oh, I've heard of that show.
Yeah, and it's a monthly show. I'll be hosting and headlining it along with Matt Bronger's on the show. Gerard Carmichael, who's one of my favorite new comics, he's on the show. A guy from Find Your Dad is gonna be showing some unreleased videos. And the Walsh brothers are on the show, and it's like
what
you know,
a fucking powerhouse.
Yeah, it's you pay to get in, and there's like a couple food trucks, and there's like a sponsored beer company, like I think it's Eagle Rock Brewery, who make great beers, and it's like a night full of shows, and like it'd be awesome if a lot of you guys wanted to come out to that.
Great,
so, yeah, there it is. There's my I think that's like my most official plug.
No, you should plug your shows. People need to come out and see you.
Yeah, and then there's you know the Wednesday show every you know.
Wednesday.
That Wednesday show is so much fucking fun, man.
David Spade dropped in last night.
That's what I heard.
Todd Glass brought David Spade, and he had a good time.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. It was weird. People, like, first laughing like it was fake that he was coming on stage, and then realizing it was him. So everyone was like,
it is him.
Yeah.
Great. So,
all right, there it is.
So there's that. Jonah, fucking plug all your shows, man. I don't give a shit. People need to... You deserve for people to come see you perform, and they want to know. So totally cool. I'm going to end the show with the Wootstock song by Mike Furman, and it's available on iTunes, so pick it up and support Mike Furman, and while you're doing that,
enjoy your burrito.
Oh, I thought you were going to keep it with the devil.
Enjoy your burrito and cottage cheese.
Nah, that doesn't sound like a bad combination.
Actually, you're right. Cottage cheese burritos?
To Chipotle!
Give me your cottage cheese. Or what? What happened to the world? Cottage cheese. It's not like fucking... It's not like...
Chris, get over it. Play the song.
Oh, sorry. I started to get re-pissed. You ever get re-pissed about old situations?
You can eat cottage cheese on the holodeck.
I can teleport to a cottage cheese factory.
Do it.
Cottage cheese factory sounds like something you would call someone's like
wait,
sticky.
Wait a minute.
Like
if I eat cottage, if I eat holodeck, hang on. If I eat holodeck generated cottage cheese, do I shit light?
No. As soon as you leave the holodeck, you're not full anymore because it's no longer in your stomach.
Oh my God.
That's the perfect diet.
It's the perfect way to have an eating disorder. The eat on the holodeck diet.
Well, no, if you want your bad foods, pizza, yeah, your bagels with cream cheese.
You create your favorite restaurant your pizza in the with holodeck. Cream cheese. There's an Anna's Taqueria all of a sudden, and I can eat like 3 super carnitas burritos with cottage cheese and then leave.
It's like in Defending Your Life. Fast and delicious, eat all you want.
Yeah.
Come on my show, Albert Brooks, and bring cottage cheese. Here's Mike Furman.
I used to be good at radio.
Well, it's also not 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Fair point.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by GoToMeeting. Meet easily with colleagues, even when traveling or working remotely. For your free 30-day trial, visit GoToMeeting.com, promo code Nerdist.
This episode is brought to you by the effortlessly scrumptious bite of Skinny Pop Popcorn. Imagine this, perfectly popped, endlessly delicious kernels, a symphony of just three simple ingredients, popcorn, sunflower oil, and a sprinkle of salt. No compromise, just pure snacking freedom. And hey, if you're up for a twist, dive into flavors like zesty white cheddar to sweet and salty kettle. Every bite's a delight, light and oh so tasty. Shop Skinny Pop now.